The partnership's actually been running for a little over 3 years. The purpose of it relates to what's called the IDX, or Indigenous Digital Excellence Initiative, is to support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and communities to embrace, engage, implement and influence the use of new technologies, so digital technologies. We've been going for a couple of years, but in probably the last 6 months, it's been quite a crucial period in the whole project because we've undertaken a second wave of consultations in our communities about how they'd like to use technology. We've brought together at a national summit in March this year digital makers, policy makers, entrepreneurs and so on to try to come up with the bones of a strategy about taking this issue forward. Just at the recent Garma Festival, we launched what we're calling our IDX roadmap, which really tries to set out the next steps forward for our communities to make sure that we ride this digital technology wave and we do it in a way that supports our communities and helps to maintain country and culture.
This program has got several components, like mentoring and training and so many different components. Give us an example of two or three of these components and describe them for us.
A very exciting part of the IDX initiative, in addition to the kind of strategic work that we're doing, is a program called Flint that runs under IDX. This is through the partnership with the Telstra Foundation, and we have received funding from other sources where we try and spark, and that's where the name of the program comes in. We're trying to spark in communities a thirst and a hunger for knowledge about these new technologies and then turning them around and applying them in a local setting. So under the Flint program, we run what are called activations in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and organisations and other organisations that advance the interests of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to learn more about this technology. And effectively, an activation means that we send our IDX crew out to selected communities that have basically put their hand up and said, we want to do this. And we work with them in a number of areas, including coding, you know, so the language of computers, 3D printing and robotics. And we work with young people, generally through schools as well, where we show them these new technologies. We train local people in these technologies so that after the activation, this thirst lives on. Communities are lucky enough to receive a kit that they design that meets their interests. So if they say the kids are really interested in robotics, they responded to that, we'd like to use them to continue this on, they might say we'd like our kit to include robots and not so much others. And we're really trying to respond to local community needs. Every community that we go to is different. So far we've held four. We've been to Wellington in regional New South Wales, Rockhampton in Queensland, Canteen Creek and Gunvalunya in the Northern Territory. And we've recently announced the next or round two of the Flint sites. We're looking forward basically to building a critical mass of communities all across the country who are engaged with this technology through this program.
Talking about technology, the youth are usually the ones to take up these new technologies or are the actually early adopters. But this comes with a cost, and everyone in the cities has got a little device that they swipe and tap and all that to get access to the net and all that. And well, this is part of the digital era we live in. Now, in the disadvantaged communities, these items will be very, very hard to access because of the financial cost.
Well, you raise a couple of important issues, and certainly access is an issue that comes up time and time again. Some of our communities, for example, one of the communities in the Territory had very little access to the internet, which obviously makes things difficult. We work with communities to utilise what they do have access to. Obviously, it's a message that we're sending to government and the sector generally to say that we have to build the connectivity of our communities. But we also recognise that even in remote communities, the use of smartphones, for example, is widespread. So although people may not have a desktop computer or a laptop with Wi-Fi, frequently they will have a smartphone and they're quite familiar with and adept at, you know, the technology, touch screens and so on. So it really varies from community to community. You also touched on another issue, and that is about, you know, young people have been the early adopters of this technology. One of the guiding principles of our partnership with the Telstra Foundation is inclusivity, and this came out of the summit that we held in March, where although that is the case, young people are familiar with this technology, it's all they've known, we are very keen to make sure that no one is left behind. So we're working very hard to make sure that young people, while they're at the forefront, are also working alongside people from other generations, all genders, and obviously across the spectrum of rural, remote and urban communities.
Touching on that, the NBN in remote communities, having Telstra Foundation as your partners, have they got any say into actually these technologies being rolled out?
I know that they're very conscious of it because it's an issue that comes up and came up in our very own consultations. It's a matter, I guess, for the Telstra Corporation, and the Telstra Foundation is the philanthropic arm of the Telstra Corporation, but also all telcos and government to ensure that, you know, we realise this dream that virtually all of us have, that nowhere in Australia will not be connected and not have access to this sort of technology. The tyranny of distance has made life for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and communities very difficult indeed in some circumstances. We know that a lot of our communities have been neglected, and that's why it is so important that our communities do not miss this wave, where our communities are dispossessed or disenfranchised or disconnected from society. We couldn't sustain another incarnation of that because this has been such a massive change around the world. We need to be not just involved but ahead of the curve. And we think that we can because not only are we bringing new technologies to the fore, we're bringing it with the oldest cultures, the oldest living cultures in the world. And that's what we say actually defines Indigenous excellence, bringing together new technologies with ancient wisdom.
Recently, I was covering an event at the State Library of New South Wales where they launched an initiative called Black Voices Will Be Heard Loud and Clear in the Future. And part of it is actually to try and document the oral history, document the different stories and the history of this country. So this initiative will get the First Nations people to tell their own stories in their own words. That this will be documented digitally as well. So this ties in very well with that kind of project.
It certainly does. And the guiding principles that inform all of the work that we do under the IDX initiative are very, very important. And, you know, obviously we've been lucky enough to have the support of the Telstra Foundation. They are as on board with these guiding principles as our communities because it's so important, as I said, that our people are in the driver's seat here. You know, those principles around inclusivity, no one is left behind, about connectivity, so bringing together our digital makers with government and funders, that it be applied across all areas of life, transference and sustainability, so really making sure that these skills, that they are able to live on, there's no disruption to them and they can be passed on from generation to generation. As I said, community-owned, led and designed, so it's not our stories being told in ways that we don't control by other people. And also the application of technology, so making sure that we're not just looking to the future, we are seizing the day today. So we know what technology is around now, making sure that our communities are completely au fait and familiar with it, so it provides a really good foundation for future technologies as well. You know, it's pretty remarkable to have a corporate or a philanthropic supporter who will listen to our communities. That's the sort of partnership that our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities need, where the views and the aspirations of our mob are absolutely front and centre. And, you know, I'm delighted that we've been able to achieve that through the IDX initiative.
I can see this turning into a First Nations Silicon Valley kind of a project that will arise from this kind of thing.
Well, it's funny you should say that because we recently had our team go out and have a chat with mob out at Gilgandra in western New South Wales, and the local newspaper published a story saying, is Gil the next Silicon Valley? It might sound like a very grand idea, but this is where this kind of thing starts. It really depends on who shows the initiative, what sort of resources and relationships you're able to bring to bear to create magic.